Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
We're two games into the Suns preseason. I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olson. This is the Empire of the Suns podcast. Kind of a mixed bag through two games so far. Kellen and I were both watching. Kellen was at both of them. I went to one of the games, saw the other game Wednesday night on TV, and yeah, it looked... Okay, both of them are concerning in that this is the roster that you have. And especially that first game, the rotation that the Suns will have heading into the season. And they lost to the Sacramento Kings, who were not playing everyone and are not good. So it's two concerning games. And I kind of already knew that the Suns wouldn't be good, but that's just more confirmation to that.
They need a point guard. They are going to be god-awful if they don't have a point guard. We sat here after the Brandon Knight-Keith thing and was like, it's got to be coming. And this was before Brandon, like, Brandon Knight was on the roster. We were still saying, like, it's got to be coming because there were certain points in Wednesday's game in particular where I tweeted about it and it was like, you need a point guard for these certain situations. Like, yes, Igor's system technically doesn't require a quote-unquote point guard, but when the New Zealand Breakers are on a 12-2 run on your home court in the fourth quarter, you need a point guard to sort that out. And what happened? Josh Jackson just kept driving to the rim over and over again because there was really nothing else going. And then no one was there to say, hey, let's feed the big fella who is 25-14 or whatever the... whatever he finished with. It was mind-boggling to just watch Ayton not touch the ball at the end, and then you realize no point guard. That's what point guards do. Wing ball handlers, like, they don't... there are very, very few in the league. It's you can probably count them on one hand that would be good enough to kind of slow down there, point forward it, and find the big fellow or just, like, run something. And it was mayhem. Man, you mentioned on the podcast you wanted to see how your boy Shaq Harrison does, and whew.
Wow, let's get into it. Booker's gonna solve some of these issues, right?
Let's caveat before we talk about how bad this looked.
Yeah.
They are installing a new system. They are half the roster is basically new. They've got five rookies, they've got Anderson, they've got Ariza. Who else am I forgetting? The five rookies, Anderson, Ariza, Rashawn Holmes. That's eight guys.
I see what you're doing.
So that's eight guys on the roster who are brand new. And then you've got the guys last year who actually really, really played together a lot. Jackson, Booker, Warren. I mean, Bender was in
that's
and
pretty
out.
Pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, it's Tyson was in and out.
Shaq Harrison.
Yeah, Shaq Harrison, I guess, at the end of the year. So he counts as well, but... man, it really showed that when you're installing this new system and right away, it's something I told my friend last night is, if you watch LeBron play enough, it's funny how we go from like the Suns to LeBron, and this is not where I'm going with it, believe me. LeBron is the guy you can watch within the first 30 to 45 seconds, more so in like years 4 through like 11 or 12 of his career. Like the past 2 years, he's just turned into like he's the same player every game. But you could tell, like, at Boston, first 30 seconds, you're like, oh, we're getting one of those games tonight. Like, he's attacking right off the bat. He's not settling for jumpers. Like, all this kind of locked in defensively, all that stuff. The Suns, within the first minute of Wednesday's game, I could tell, like, this is completely different energy from Monday. Like, they're playing against the New Zealand Breakers. So when you add all those things in together, new teammates learning a brand new system together, and they're not really going full all the way against the New Zealand Breakers, that's what's going to happen, and the point guard thing as well. But even with all that aside, you should beat the Breakers by 30, at least.
So... I'll back it up for a sec. I think it's not Okay, I'm still under the belief it's not necessarily a point guard problem, but the point guard spot is where you is the most obvious hole, and you've patched this problem, and the problem is just ball handlers. There is not a player, I don't care how much of a leader Trevor Ariza or Ryan Anderson are, they're not a guy who's going to give me the ball. Like, Booker's going to be that guy, but when that happens, teams are just going to force it out of his hands and be like, someone else beat us. And then you have no one else. So that's why it's the point guard spot. But it is really that simple, where it's controlling tempo. When you look at the turnover assist numbers, it's those turnovers are happening because they have to pass a lot and they have to get rid of it a lot and play make and make decisions. And this is the biggest concern, is Josh Jackson had 7 of those turnovers, I think, out of the 22 in their second game after he had a pretty darn good game before. And that's a really good snapshot of the team as a whole, where it's, even if you have a secondary ball handler like Josh Jackson, he's young, he's not looking at tempo, game clock, shot clock late in last night's game, where it's like, just pull it out, calm everyone down, run a set. Instead, you're rushing, and the announcers, like Eddie Johnson, was like, why are they, you know, they're up, I think they might have been up like 8 or 6 even at that point in the final minutes. It's like, you need to burn clock. Why are, like, even if you have an open lane right now, and then they probably, I think that might have even been the play where they pass it to Bender and he just dribbles it off or fumbles it out because he's trying to pass when he's wide open. But yeah, it's just little things like that. And it's an age and a ball handler problem more so than a distinct, you need a point guard in the system problem, if that's clear.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just this specific...
It's a problem, though.
The specific moments in which this team is on a run, you need to settle down. Even Book, like, I'm sorry, like, he is not the type of guy who's going to single-handedly, like, shift the tide in those kinds of moments. You need more ball handlers that are... Well, I think what the 180 with Josh was really whiplash. He looked very settled. He looked like he was figuring out his playmaking a bit. And then on Wednesday, it was straight back to... He kept driving off ball screens and not attacking the rim after, even though the angle looked like it was there from my angle. And it was confusing. And then he had 7 turnovers, which clearly showed that he was not picking his spots correctly. And he's going to be the guy who's the secondary ball handler right now. It's not going to be... If it's going to be Shaq,
he's going to be first if they go into the season without Booker.
Yeah, because Shaq had 6 turnovers and an assist on Monday, I believe, or maybe 2 assists, and then he had 2 assists and 2 turnovers on Wednesday. Like, he can't even get to... He's probably not going to have an assist-to-turnover ratio above 1, and he's your starting point guard, potentially. So I think that the problem is still there, but I get what you're saying there. And there,
yeah, like, he's not going to be different, and their system could work. But yeah, it's just talent across the board.
We both agree that there are holes within this that go beyond all the variables we mentioned, and that's the obvious hole is at point guard. Are there any other team wide kind of things you want to talk about before we get into players specifically?
I think the very first few minutes of the Kings game, I saw, like, good defense, maybe?
Yeah.
And it was, like, 5 minutes. But it was something. It was... They looked, like, locked in and focused. And then, of course, a young team comes out and does that against New Zealand. But I guess this kind of segues into our players and obviously who we want to talk about most. Is DeAndre Ayton has looked, let's just, if we talk about team defense, like, him playing center looks, he's looking like a center. He's altering shots, blocking shots, keeping balls in play when he's blocking shots, and that's starting breaks. And I think that's where, like, when the weirdest thing we saw out of his season at Arizona was when he would step away from a guy who's driving into his area as a big man. And I can't off the top of my head remember if he's done that. He's, like, avoided fouls, or, like, if he... Maybe it was questionable whether he could get to something, but he hasn't, like, straight up like not tried or gone away from a play, which is like a really scary thing when I mentioned it, but it's good he's not doing it, to my knowledge. Do you remember any of those plays? Have you seen any of that from him?
In terms of?
Like where he's just like, why didn't you challenge that? Why aren't you?
Oh, the standing around thing. Not really, no. There was just a little bit of lackadaisical energy from him on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the extremes we saw at Arizona. And then Monday was just, he was everywhere. And that's something where there are possessions where, like on Wednesday, TJ Warren is guarding the ball handler, Aiden is guarding the ball screen. The ball screen comes, the ball handler drives to the basket, Josh Jackson is there for the help, and he's like protecting the lane while one of them recovers. TJ Warren and DeAndre just stood there. They just stood at where the ball screen was, and neither of them recovered. And that is the type of extreme dangers you can run into with Ayton, where I did see a specific example of it, but that wasn't necessarily his fault or something. That was just a huge deal.
Yeah.
That's just communication. And what Igor talked about after the game was communication and effort. It's like that was a lot of it. They tracked 20 uncontested shots, I think, is what they said, which is alarming to say the least. But as far as DeAndre goes, on Monday, there's just when you can see a defensive possession, and you know people are nerds when they post a defensive possession that doesn't end in a block and a steal, and it's just he's rotating here and he's rotating there, and it's just like three or four crisp rotations off the ball, and then maybe one of them he's on the ball for a couple seconds and denies something, and then he's still rotating. There were like four or five of those possessions he had where it was just denied the initial thing here, and then he went over there, and then he went over there, covered that area there, got the rebound here, and that was extremely encouraging to see. Offensively, it just got me curious as to how teams are going to game plan against him, because the Stepien had their shot chart tracking last year, and it tracked that Ayton on mid-range jumpers was shooting something like above 60% on them. He was just flat-out automatic, and so far through two games, especially in the second game, he hit a lot of those. And I think good teams are going to pressure him and try to make him dribble the ball, but that's just not something big men do at the same time. They don't really pressure the ball in that situation in the mid-range, so it made me kind of curious as to what teams are going to game plan against him, and I think it just shows how easy it is for him to be productive, because if he just gets three of those jumpers to go down a game, he just needs 4 points, and then the 10 rebounds are going to come. I think seeing him play with Ryan Anderson, we're like, oh, he's just going to... Ryan Anderson's actually a good rebounder, but it's clearly like Ayton is going to... Shooters, get out there. Ayton's going to grab it. Let's go.
I think to your point about how people game plan against him is the Suns' shooting numbers through two games, like it's small sample size, but that's going to be interesting because we were talking about this before the podcast. I don't think Anderson and Ariza and even Bridges and improved shooting from the other guys and Booker returning will make this team a very good 3-point shooting team. Maybe they're not like completely the worst team in the league. But teams are going to have to pick poison. Like, they might just say, all right, Ayton, you can roll to the rim as much as you want. We're going to guard the 3-point shooters if they're getting hot. Or they're just going to suck in and be like, you guys aren't going to make shots. We're just going to make Ayton take jumpers. That's just going to be his best look, and we'll live with it. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing that we have to kind of watch over time as teams determine what they'd like the Suns to do. What else with him has kind of stood out to you? To me, like, just his rebounding translating, I think that's something we obviously thought, but it's really stood out how much...
He tracks the ball well. You tweeted about this.
Yeah, like, he's doing the same things. He looks bigger than everyone still, and I'm impressed by that. Like, I think he takes up more space than we think, because he's, you know, he's huge, but he's not... like a giant, like width-wise. Well, I guess he is. I don't know. But he also, yeah, tracks. And by that, he has a good eye for where the ball's coming off, but also, like, he can reach, he can jump for it. And then even if he can't get, like, both hands on the ball, he's really good at tipping it to himself or bouncing it off the guy to keep the possession if he's on the offensive boards, or tipping it so teammate can get it. And even on, like, it's the same thing with his blocks. Like, he had like 3 blocks last night, And I think all of them, he came up with the ball after blocking it. And that was in different ways, but it's still, to me, it's like good hands, but also a really interesting trait to have as a big, because it's saving possessions. It's gaining more possessions.
Man, it really feels like Sean Miller just suffocates these dudes, because watching Alonzo Trier last night just cook the Nets in pick and roll and make reads off pick and roll, and it's like, Sean, just watch these guys in the NBA for 5 seconds and realize like the changes you need to make to your offense, because DeAndre, it's the same thing. Like, we're just seeing newer qualities about him, and of course he was playing the four man, which didn't really allow us to get a proper view of him. And it's very clear seeing it there. What I've loved the most is that he is not going out to three-point range at all.
Yeah.
Which we kind of expected, but at the same time, it's just really good to see that it's not even like he's not floating beyond there. And that's because he's smart and he knows that I shoot 65% on these mid-range jumpers, so I'm not going to go to the place where I probably shoot like 32 or something.
Yeah.
But at Arizona, they were like, yeah, fire those threes, DeAndre.
Why didn't they just have Deuce play the four?
Yeah.
All right, we won't go down that rabbit hole.
Dude, ASU is going to be so much better this year. Have you seen Givney and Schmitz have been tweeting out like from practice and stuff and being like, oh, that dork kid is unreal.
I saw Givney eating popcorn on the telecast last night next to Matt Walsh, who does not have crazy big hair anymore, which makes you feel old. Anyway,
yeah
I mean, Ayton's... he is what we thought he would be. I'm already more optimistic than I think I was earlier. Going against Bagley makes me realize like Bagley is a project, like Bender were for the Suns, where it's like, I don't know what he is yet. Please someone help him find his role.
He's screwed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like Jaeger, but he's screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other thoughts?
I really enjoyed your love of Trevor Ariza dribbling the basketball. While you were talking, I looked it up. He averaged 0.87 dribbles per touch on that team.
My God.
In Houston. For reference, James Harden 5.86, Chris Paul 5.1, even guys like Eric Gordon 2.4, Joe Johnson 2.1, Troy Williams 1.8, Gerald Green 1.7. And then you get to like PJ Tucker, who's 0.55. Like, PJ never dribbled. Luke Richard and Mamute won.
It's just blowing my mind. Like, I know Trevor Ariza isn't a terrible ball handler, but I was just like, I haven't seen this in like 5 years. Like, I don't even know. Like,
he just had like a couple good drives to the basket, and you're like, holy crap, that's right. Like, you can kind of, he's not like a scorer or anything, but it's like, yeah, you can kind of do this stuff.
Just imagine being a basketball player on a team where they're just like, hey, that thing that every basketball player does, you don't need to do that. Just put the ball in the hoop or pass it to someone.
So if you aren't really familiar with the Rockets and you're kind of confused, they run an extremely reliant system on James Harden, Chris Paul just dribbling the ball and looking for options. And the time of possession average for James Harden when he's on the floor, 8.8 seconds. So there's 24 seconds on a shot clock.
Let's do the math.
And his average time of possession is 8.8 seconds per possession he's on the court. Chris Paul is at 6.8, which is still super high, but Harden, 8.8. So Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson, like, you can see why Ryan Anderson feels like he just like got out, like he's just in paradise right now, because he can actually... He did the Dirk twice in the first quarter. He made it once. He didn't make it the other time, but like,
he would have been benched.
Yeah. And would have been like, what are you doing, man? he was at 0.45 dribbles per game. So he was basically not dribbling at all.
Who else? Josh Jackson had an interesting two games. The first one was like, even the second one to some degree, if you throw in a bunch of mistakes and defensive lapses, which is still like a problem. But the first game, mostly the passing is what is standing out, is like, okay, that's good. That's there, because we didn't see that last year at all on a bad team. And then when Book was down, it's like, well, Josh Jackson is just trying to get his. But his rapport, I guess, with Ayton is good. You need someone to throw him lobs. And yeah,
it was good to see him quick triggering it on threes. It's like great.
Yeah.
And the shot looks better. There's obviously there has been a development from the start of his rookie season to now, where at least on catch and shoot, it's a very smooth,
yeah,
rise up and fire kind of deal.
It's not like that set shot I thought it would be either.
He had a great play on Monday where he kept doing the thing with Ayton for the lobs, and one time the lob was covered and his man sagged off him. And instead of like running into him and attacking off the dribble, he actually just like did a step back like 12 footer. It's like, yes. Instead of dribbling it back two steps and taking a 20 footer, just yes, do that. Stick within 14 feet or shoot threes. And that's encouraging to see. Wednesday was what I mentioned earlier. He's finally started attacking at the end of the game when there was a real sense of urgency, and it's like, man, it's preseason against the Breakers, so I'm not going to overreact to it at all or even properly react to it, but it's like, man, like it takes that to get you to drive against the Breakers. But hey, it's preseason. It's fine. It's going to be a completely different team once Booker gets back or once they get a point guard. It'll change. But to talk about Jackson no more and move on to some of the role players, people were kind of like, oh, Mikal Bridges has kind of been invisible over the like first two games. And to an extent, with Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson too, you just watch these plays and you see Shaq run a pick and roll with Ayton on the left wing and there are two shooters on the right. It's like Ariza and Anderson, and Ayton's not open, but somehow Harrison isn't. Just the recognition isn't there that, oh, Aiden's not open because there's a shooter over there that's open because his man is collapsing on Aiden to help real quick. And it's Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson who, like we said, were in solitary confinement for 3 years where all they did was catch and shoot. So they're going to be okay. Pass them the ball and let them shoot it. But that recognition just wasn't there and they were just missed opportunities. And Ryan Anderson wasn't even asked about it specifically. He was just asked about the three-point shooting woes, and he just stated that the point guards need to do a better job of probing, meaning like eyes up, look around, and then recognizing good passing opportunities, which again, when Aiden's not open on a pick and roll, that means one of the shooters is. And
keep
give it
the
to
defense
the,
engaged, find an angle, yeah.
Yeah, give it to the shooter. And I tweeted like a point guard is gonna like eat this defense alive if Ayton is like getting collapsed on like this, which he is going to get that even in his rookie year. There are gonna be times in games just because he's you can say all you want he's a rookie and he's bad at this or whatever, but when you're out there with him and he's 7'1" and moving like that, how do you not react as an off-ball defender just to go help really quick when he's that big and moves that fast? So as far as Ariza, Anderson, Bridges, all those guys, I just sense that there's so much from a rhythm standpoint that they have to get in tune picking their spots and stuff. I think it's just going to take a while. Mikal, to me, I saw what I wanted to see defensively, and then offensively, I thought he had a nice drive or two. He had one on Wednesday where he just went straight at it, and then he had a Okobo, got the ball in semi-transition. Igor, after every miss, is always yelling go, so Okobo's looking for Bridges, gets him the ball. Bridges runs a semi-transition pick and roll. DeAndre lobs it over to DeAndre, terrible pass. DeAndre catches it anyway and dunks in. It's like, okay, Mikal, like taking the ball off the dribble and playmaking a little bit. That's good to see. But that's all I had to say on those guys. I mean, obviously Mikal didn't pop, and that's I guess he was as a number 10 pick. You might be concerned, but he's not going to pop. He's Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, he'll pop once he has a good team around him. I'm not concerned about that right now.
We have been beating this drum for 3 years that like role players just do not work on bad teams.
No.
There's a reason George Hill went from Sacramento to where. Although the effort really wasn't there from him either, and he wasn't really doing anything to positively to help his situation, and then he goes to Cleveland and he's actually like a useful, really useful player. It's just the way it goes, and I'll always remember the Jared Dudley quote that shooters, the more opportunities they get, the better they're going to shoot. And if Mikal Bridges takes like three attempts over 35 minutes, then he's probably not going to be shooting that well over like, and that's over like six or seven shifts in the games total. And so I'm not worried about the shooting. Do you want to talk? I don't even think we should talk about the fact that they're shooting 20% from three right now. There's just so much for them to figure out.
There's too much to.
There's so much data that all these shooters are good that I'm not going to say, oh, Ryan Anderson, does he still have it?
I mean, you can see the geometry of the court is completely different, and that might be 8-2. I think it's a combination of everything, but yeah, we need to see this team when it has Booker back, if they get a point guard, and then we can start talking about it when they're shooting under 30%, like 5 games in the regular season. Any news tidbits to close this out? Like, Cannon hasn't been playing, and that's kind of an interesting, because he actually might be the only guy who could be a point guard and say, hey, let's slow the dang game down. Anything else? Booker's finger updates? Anything of that sort?
Gina from The Athletic reported at Shooter on Wednesday, I was not there, that he had his splint off, and he is using what is called buddy tape. That's probably something that's like familiar in
it's
basketball
tape,
world.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
It's tape that can get sweaty, I guess.
And there's a piece of like plastic in between the pinky and his ring finger, I believe, or something like that. But he was using his right hand, shooting with his right hand. So that is good progress. I'm not going to react to it at all. I see people saying, oh, now he's playing in the opener for sure. And it's, how do I know? I don't have his hand. I don't know how that's going. I guess closing thoughts through two preseason games that we kind of take it for granted, but Igor's system looks really good offensively.
Yeah.
It's just seeing all the different dynamics and seeing when it really actually works in a lot of systems, and that's just more so on the players, I think. It's like when the players are all moving in the right spots, it looks really, really great, and I'm really excited to see it further in a better
as many turnovers
way.
They had this second game, they also had a decent number of assists. Not great, but you know, they have to get those assists because they ain't scoring off the bounce.
And they have 40 turnovers through two games, which is a whole lot. And that's from learning a new system, obviously, and everything, but that is certainly a number to watch, because Igor noted his Jazz teams didn't have good assist-to-turnover ratio either, but the Suns had by far the worst number last year. So we'll monitor.
What day is the opener? I should know
this. The 17th. That is 2 weeks from yesterday, Wednesday. Okay.
Well, we'll get through a couple more preseason games. We'll reconvene, get another podcast out, and then maybe we'll do a preseason preview.
We'll have a last two preseason games are next week. They have one Friday, and then they have two next week, so we'll do like a preseason wrap-up, and then probably season preview elements in there too, and then the podcast after that will probably be reacting to opening night.
Losing to Dallas by like 30.
Maybe we'll come. I think we're both going to be there, so maybe we both come back and do that if we are so inclined. Ask the person who works afternoons instead of mornings. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See ya.